Welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and this week we are continuing our discussion on the American Heart Association. And with us this week, Dr. Ray Blackwell. And welcome, sir. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me today.
So let's get started with, first of all, tell me a little bit about you, Dr. Blackwell. Who and what are you?
Well, I am currently the interim chief of cardiac surgery at Christiana Care Hospital. I am very active with the American Heart Association. I have been for a number of years. It's one of those organizations which I sort of fell into by accident, and I find myself getting involved more and more each year.
You were actually a past president and chairman of Newcastle, right? And then you kind of moved up the food chain?
Correct. So I started off just as a regular board member. I then became president and chair of the Newcastle County Division. I served 1 year as the Leadership Development Committee chair, and I'm now on the regional board, the Great Rivers Affiliate.
Well, we had Dr. Robin Horn in last week, and I know she's on the board in Newcastle as well. But it's the fact that physicians are involved with the Heart Association that is always so impressive. It is so peer-heavy. It's physicians supporting this organization.
It is. I mean, the American Heart Association addresses a lot of what we consider to be heart health and just overall health. So it's in line with what we do as physicians, trying to take care of patients and making them healthier.
Well, what is the mission, then, of the Heart Association?
So our mission right now, our current mission is to reduce cardiovascular disease by 20% and to increase cardiovascular health by 20% by the year 2020.
20% by 2020. And why do we always talk about prevention? We never talk about curing. We always talk about prevention. Is this because it's easier to prevent than it is to cure?
We can have a much greater impact if we prevent cardiovascular disease. We have lots of treatment. We can do operations. We have medications. But if we can prevent the disease, we'll eliminate a lot of what we call morbidity or complications that patients and families may have to deal with.
Let's go back over what we're talking about when we say cardiovascular disease. And I know that the Heart Association and the Stroke Association years ago joined forces under a common umbrella. Can you talk a little bit about cardiovascular disease, what it is, and then if you've got some numbers you want to spit at us, go ahead and scare us.
The numbers are scary. And cardiovascular disease covers a variety of subjects. So if we think about, for instance, hypertension, there are approximately 100 million people in America who have hypertension. There are about 17 million people who have coronary artery disease. 7.5 million people have suffered a stroke. And about 5 million people have congestive heart failure and another 5 million with a rhythm we call atrial fibrillation.
How many of us are actually aware that we have a problem?
Very few. I would say probably less than 25%.
Is this a silent disease?
A lot of this is silent. In fact, we call hypertension the silent killer. Patients can have severe hypertension and have no symptoms. Sometimes the first symptoms of hypertension could be a stroke, a heart attack. It may be loss of vision, kidney failure. So you can have hypertension for years and really have no symptoms until something catastrophic happens.
And what are the causes of all of this?
There are a lot of things that we consider risk factors for cardiovascular disease. Some things we can change and some we cannot. So age is one of those factors that we cannot change. If we think about things that are changeable, our diet, exercise capacity, smoking, weight.
All of those.
And those are things that we can have an impact on if we make an effort and we make a commitment to ourselves. Smoking is probably the biggest contributor to complications or morbidity in this country, and if we could eliminate smoking, we'd go a long way in improving cardiovascular health. Exercise, a lot of people are deterred when they hear the word exercise because they think they have to become an ultra athlete or a marathoner, and that's really not the case. The American Heart Association really recommends 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise 5 days a week, and that can be anything that sort of generates a sweat. It can be walking, biking, swimming, rowing. And these exercises are family-friendly. It's something you can do with a friend or a family member, and so we can impact other people's lives as well. Diet, we can all make dietary changes. We just have to limit the amount of sodium, fat, and cholesterol that we have in our diet, and it does require a bit of effort on our part because we have to look at labels and read what's in the label.
Can we parse those down a little and talk about them just a little bit more, especially when we get to age? Because sure. I think we all think that, well, some things are going to be inevitable after a lifetime of enjoying chicken and cheese, that we're going to have some cholesterol issues and some plaque. But you're seeing this now in younger and younger people.
That is correct. There are some studies that indicate that cardiovascular disease develops as early as age 10 or 11. So we can never start too early. We need to start when kids are young, teaching them how to eat healthy, how to exercise properly.
And how much of a part does genetics or ethnicity play into this, too? Especially when you're talking about kids that are younger and younger getting that. Is it all too many video games and too many nachos at the movies?
So certainly nachos contribute, and video games contribute as well. I'm not against video games. I mean, I think that computers are part of our world, and I think it's important for people to be facile with that technology. However, I think there is a limit, and I think that we should say you spent 30 minutes playing a video game. It's now time to go outside and play. Exercise keeps your weight control, helps you control your glucose, controls your blood pressure. Plus, it's a social event. It's a way to relieve stress.
And is stress, because I was going to say, no time does my heart beat any faster, and it isn't in a cardio class. It's when I'm on the computer.
So the fast heart rate we see with exercise, that's healthy. People do react the same way with stress, and so, you know, your heart rate may get faster. But I think it's important for us to learn how to find ways of relaxation. And it varies from person to person. There's no one correct answer. It may be reading poetry. It may be yoga. It could be meditation. It may be just sitting in a dark room. Whatever you find that relaxes you is what you should do to relieve your own stress.
And what part does genetics play in heart disease? I know that many families, it seems like the entire family is, and I made that noise, the entire family, it would be on cholesterol medications.
Correct. Genetics is one of those components that you cannot change. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't treat the other components. And it also doesn't mean that you should throw your hands up in the air and say, I'm not going to do anything. So if your first-degree relative has had a cardiovascular event, you're going to be at risk for having that cardiovascular event or some cardiovascular event. It's going to be important to follow up with your family practitioner or your internist, whomever you seek for regular medical care, to be screened. And if you have certain risk factors, that will send you down a path of different evaluations. It may be a non-invasive test or it may be an invasive test. But genetics does play an important role.
And when I ask about ethnicity, is it the diet, a cultural diet, that has the effect, or is that, again, back to genetics?
There's no question that our diet contributes to cardiovascular disease. Unfortunately, it's very easy to buy inexpensive food that has poor nutritional value. It is much more difficult and expensive to eat healthy, and unfortunately, some parts of the population don't have access to those types of healthy foods or the ability to afford them.
And I know that the Heart Association is part of all of this. You have tips, et cetera, for exercise, and you have information about diet. And I know that, was it last year, that sugar got that big old circle with a line through it. Sugar became number one enemy of the land.
Well, sugar is a big problem. I mean, approximately 30 to 40% of America is overweight, and that overweight epidemic contributes to glucose intolerance. We get entirely too much sugar from sodas, candy bars. We need to make healthier choices in picking fruit bars, protein bars.
And you're kind of leading into where I was going to ask you a little bit later on, advocacy work. And can we legislate away some heart disease? And is this something that we need to teach in schools? I mean, is it putting bans on sugary drinks going to help us? Is required food labeling the way to go?
It's probably going to be very difficult to legislate everything away. I do think that legislation can be helpful. I think, for instance, passing the tax on cigarettes will certainly diminish the amount of people that smoke. Adding a tax on sugary drinks in the schools, I think, is going to go a long way in improving our dietary consumption of sugars. Advocacy is at the heart of what we do at the American Heart Association. If we think about the things that we've done here in the state, you know, we've eliminated smoking in most public places. Any graduating senior is now required to know CPR in case that one person collapses in front of them with sudden cardiac death, which affects approximately 500,000 people per year. We have AEDs available to defibrillate patients who have a bad heart rhythm in public places. we now have calorie counts on the food that you consume here in the state. So I think, and these are all things that we've advocated here in Delaware, and I think these will contribute to the health of our citizens.
When you're working with kids and when you're working with adults, what are some of the programming? I mean, you said that CPR, is it? And the AEDs, how many, I mean, I hate to say how many lives, you can look that up on the website, as I said.
You know, if you think about 500,000 people a year dying of sudden cardiac death, how many of those could be prevented if someone was educated in knowing how to apply an AED and use it?
Now, you know, even I know that if you have a cardiac incident, that window is so tiny to be saved. So getting people trained and getting people to know about AEDs is vital. So, I mean, do you actually know what kind of impact you've had through these programs on Delaware so far?
Sure. We have what we call You're the Cure Advocates. We have approximately 1,800 of those in the state. We've trained over 40,000 individuals in CPR and over 42,000 children between kindergarten and 12th grade have been educated on our healthy lifestyle program.
And is that something that absolutely anyone can learn? Is this something that an office should say we're going to learn?
Absolutely. Again, it's very simple to do CPR. It's dial 911, push hard and fast. Its compression is approximately 1 inch, 1.5 inches in an adult, and about 100 times a minute, and you can save a life.
And the American Heart Association does have programs for CPR, do they not?
Yes, we do have programs to teach CPR.
Does the American Heart Association have speakers or information that we can call on, and where do we get it?
Yes, we have the resources to help educate office and office staff. Again, it's available on the website, heart.org. It's a very informative website. I would encourage you to visit it.
Last week, we were talking a little bit about women's clinics and stuff like that and that symptoms that should make you go to a doctor and ask for an evaluation and get tests done and all of that. What are some of the signs that you are suffering from cardiovascular disease before that stroke or that heart attack that you said tells most of us that we've had a bad, you know, we've not been very, you know, heart healthy during our life?
So, interestingly, one of the biggest predictors is people will say, I was a year older, and I realized I couldn't do as much as I had the year before, and they attribute it to age, when in reality, it's heart disease slowing them down. Now, we still have the typical symptoms. You still have the gentlemen or the women who will come in complaining of chest pain, chest pressure. Typically, women may also complain of being short of breath and not being able to do all the things that they like to do. But any of those changes in exercise capacity, chest pain, chest pressure, pain in the arm, neck, or jaw, those are signs that you need to get something evaluated.
When you said that about one of the first signs is on your birthday, you say, well, I can't do as much as I did the year before. If someone really does take care of themselves, and I mean, look at you. You're a runner. You're going to outlive me by 20 years. If someone does take good care of themselves, is heart disease inevitable?
I won't say inevitable. It may happen, but you can certainly delay the progression. And again, it's the dietary management, is exercising, is reducing stress, is getting regular follow-up and taking medications. And even though you may not have symptoms from hypertension or cholesterol, it's taking the medications to treat those and prevent the progression.
Okay. You know, we are at the halfway point, and this is Focus on the Delaware Valley, and we're continuing our discussion of the American Heart Association. And this week, we have Dr. Ray Blackwell with us. If you'd like more information about what we are talking about, the American Heart Association has a great website, and it's called heart.org. Just go to heart.org, and you're going to find out information about diet, exercise, the research, everything that we talk about. American Heart Association is found at heart.org. You find your local chapter there as well. Just have your zip code handy, and they will get you to the local, your local chapter. I'm Laura Lewis. I said this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. Dr. Ray Blackwell, let's roll on with... What are your concerns right now? Because we have a state with a budget crunch. We have a federal government with issues on health care, et cetera. Does the Heart Association and physicians, taking this away from your position with the American Heart Association, what should we be concerned about and what should voters or people who want to write to their people say?
I believe that my three topics would be health advocacy, community safety, and employment.
And all of these do actually, in the long run, tie into being healthy.
Absolutely. We talked a little bit about heart health. It's very difficult for people to walk and exercise in communities where they don't feel safe. So we need to make sure that there's an area where people can go and walk and run with their family, their children, and have a good time exercising. People who have jobs, have health insurance, can afford medications, can afford doctor's visits, and that will enable them to have a healthier lifestyle.
When we talk about advocacy, but then again, research is another major part for the Heart Association. And I think most of the great breakthroughs have come through programs and projects that were actually funded by it. What's on the horizon right now? What are we looking at?
So absolutely, research is critical. In fact, we are the biggest funder of research behind the National Institutes of Health in this country. I think the things that we're currently looking at are how education impacts health. There is evidence that the more educated you are, the healthier you are. And the other thing that we're looking at is how environmental pollution affects our health. We expect some information from that in the future.
Education and environment. Now, you know what? We need to shift things away just a little bit. Let's go northward here and start talking a little bit about stroke as well. What are some of the programs and the projects that you're working on? And then talk a little bit about stroke. What is stroke as when talking about a cardiovascular incident there?
So a stroke is when your brain does not receive enough blood supply, and it's going to affect different people in different ways. Some people will lose the ability to speak clearly. Some will lose ability to use an arm or a leg, and some will collapse totally. And the interesting thing is that a lot of the risk factors that we talk about for cardiovascular disease are also the same risk factors for cerebrovascular disease. It's a common problem, and the way we think about trying to recognize a stroke happening is through a little mnemonic called FAST, F-A-S-T. So if someone that you recognize has facial weakness on one side, if they lose the ability to move an arm or a leg, or if their speech becomes garbled, time is utmost important to get them to a hospital which can treat the stroke.
So everybody really should keep in mind FAST. Face, arm, speech, and time to call 911.
That is correct.
What is the difference between
So the difference between a heart attack and stroke is the heart attack basically is the heart not getting enough blood supply with oxygen, and a stroke is a brain not getting enough blood supply. Either one requires immediate medical attention.
So you are working on research in both areas. You are working in advocacy, et cetera. You have all these programs that's been going on for a long time now. And it does mean you got to pay bills. And we talked a little bit about this last week. You've got the 2017 Wilmington Heart Walk is coming up on September 10th. You want to tell us a little bit about that? Because that sounds like it's going to be a great time.
The Heart Walk is always a fun event. It's a time for families and friends to get together for a 3.1-mile walk, run, depending upon their level of competitiveness. There's also a 1-mile survivor walk. It's one of the major events that we have here in Delaware each year to raise money for the American Heart Association. Last year, we raised about $325,000. Our goal this year is to raise approximately $375,000. Last year was actually a banner year for the American Heart Association here in Delaware. It was the first year we raised over $1 million for research.
And the research, a lot of that stays in at local Delaware Valley facilities. You fund a lot of programs around here.
That is correct. There are two researchers that I know locally, Dr. Megan Winner and Dr. Ryan Davis, both in the area, who have received grants from the American Heart Association for research.
Yeah, they're at the University of Delaware.
That is correct.
And Dr. Winner was in last week talking about her project. She's in kinesiology and physiology. I can remember this from 1 week. Isn't that
okay,
sad?
That's great.
I remembered it that far. And they have a program for women's heart research, and that's at the University of Delaware. And we'll have a link to that, actually. And that is American Heart Association funded. So $1 million does not go that far, though, unfortunately, when you're talking about projects like that.
It is not, but it's a start. And we don't have to cure everything in 1 year. This is an ongoing effort. We go from year to year. We try and increase our fundraising from year to year.
And this does affect every single one of us. We all know somebody who either has heart disease or we've lost someone to heart disease, cardiovascular disease, and strokes. So we're doing this for everybody in the community.
We're doing this for everybody in the community. If we think about how common this is, about every 25 seconds, an American is going to have a coronary event. 1 in 3 deaths is caused by cardiovascular disease. So this is going to affect someone you know.
You know, each month is another disease, or we're so used to women especially thinking that it's going to be breast cancer that gets them. But actually, more of us will succumb to heart disease, won't we?
That is correct. About 1 in 2 or 1 in 3 women will die from cardiovascular disease.
And so when we do events like this, it's a lot of fun. But now, how are you going to make all that money? Because I know that there's no fee to sign up. You do raise $100, you get a great T-shirt. But so people go ahead and they raise this money for fun and just to do it.
That is correct. We have sponsors who contribute at different levels. But we also have teams. So there are individual teams. There are company teams, church teams. And the idea is to have people join your team and contribute money and to raise money. But yes, there is no fee to walk in the heart walk.
And who are your big sponsors for this event, actually? Give them some props and some credit for doing it.
I'd love to, because they're a big part of what we do. Christiana Care Health System, Delmarva Power, Nemours Alfred I. DuPont Hospital for Children, Delaware City Refinery, Health South, Winter Auto Group, Zach Wealth Management Group, Dick's Sporting Goods, Anesthesia Services, WSFSS, Whole Foods, Highmark Delaware, Navient, just to name a few. And for those that I left out, please don't be angry at me.
And for those who haven't signed up to be a sponsor yet, call him now anyway.
Phones are always open.
Phones are always open. And you do. You have events, though, throughout the year. And then I alluded to women's health. And the big time of year, of course, is Go Red time.
Correct. Go Red for Women is a big event. It really focuses on women's heart health. There's a luncheon usually in February of each year. Actually, in May.
I think February is the Go Red month.
Correct.
And then the luncheon
correct.
Is in May.
That is correct.
We get our red dresses in February and wear them in May.
Correct.
I'm going to give this away. You're actually the chair of the Men Go Red for Women that takes place about that same time. But anyway.
Correct. The Heart Ball is in February. I'm really getting my months confused.
It's easy to do. I know. I can't believe that we're this close to September 10th already. And again, that's when the big fun one is, the one that everybody and dogs and grandma and everybody and teams form, which is really awesome. And I suspect that your hospital has a big team.
We have many teams. I believe we currently have approximately 800 walkers from the Christiana Care this year.
Wow. But you're going to run.
Actually, I'm going to walk. Usually, Dr. Gardner and I walk at a quick pace, and we talk about heart health and politics and Christiana Care, and it's a fun event for me.
Mm-hmm. Who is the chair? Who is the chair of the walk? I didn't think to ask that. Is it Dr. Gardner?
No. The chair is Jan Miracle. She's chief nurse executive at Nemours AI DuPont.
Okay. And so all of these people get together for this wonderful cause. And here's another reason for going. Of course, our own Charlie Max is going to be the MC. Registration starts at 8, and you do want people to sign up before you get in there, right?
We would like people to sign up, yes.
Okay. And again, it's a no fee, but you raise $100 and you get the great souvenir T-shirt and you raise more money. And, of course, it helps everybody in the community. So the registration starts at 8 o'clock, opening ceremony at 8:45. You'll head out at 9 o'clock because you run. This is one of your things that you do. It's why you look like you do.
We'll head out early. I have run the event before. Sometimes it was a little competitive. I do find the walking enjoyable, though.
No, yes, sure. You're going to run. And then when it's all over, you got the band Unforgiven that will be playing, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's also going to be a chance to obtain some health screening. So there's typically blood pressure screeners there. There are cholesterol screeners there. Activities for kids to be involved with. There's healthy food, both before and after. And entertainment.
Well, so it sounds like a great time. And where will this take place?
So the event will be held September 10th. And as you said, it's at 8 o'clock and it's at the riverfront.
The riverfront here in Wilmington.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, more information about that you can get at heart.org/Wilmington Walk. I also discovered that if you just type in 2017 Heart Walk Wilmington, you will get there as well. But heart.org/Wilmington Walk. Parting words. Now, here's your chance. What do you want to say to us? How do you want to knock our heads together and behave? What are the parting words as someone who has spent his entire medical career dealing with tickers? What should we be doing and what should we be thinking about?
Make a commitment to yourself to be healthy.
That's it? Well, what are those? Go on. You got a little bit of time here. Okay. Take it and run with it.
So I'm going to encourage everyone to exercise 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, read labels, limit sugars, fats, cholesterol, don't smoke, avoid secondhand smoke. If you're overweight, plan to lose weight, but not at a quick rate. Weight loss at approximately 1 pound a week is probably pretty healthy. That basically requires you to drop 500 calories a day and expend 500 calories a day more. 500 calories is not a lot. It's really a Pop-Tart.
Sad but true. That's my lunch some days. So you heard him. Take some time out for yourself there, because I know you don't want to see us professionally, but you do want to see us on September 10th.
I want to see you on September 10th. I prefer not to see you in my office.
So September 10th is the 2017 American Heart Association Heart Walk Wilmington, and it will be at the riverfront. You can register in advance. You can register there on site as well, but they'd sure love it if you did it in advance. Everything starts up at 8 o'clock, and the opening ceremony will be at 8:45. Walkers take off at 9. I'm going to guess the runners go first.
Yes.
I've always suggested do it the opposite, just for grins, but no one's ever taken me up on that. So anyway, so the walk and the run will begin at 9 o'clock. It's an easy 3.1 miles, and there will be a 1 mile survivor walk as well. So find out all of this stuff online. Go to the American Heart Association's website, heart.org, then do a /Wilmington Walk. But of course, for anything that we have talked about today, as far as all the tips, the information that the American Heart Association has to offer, and they've got a great website, go to heart.org. It's that easy. And here's where I always say thank you. And thank you so much, Dr. Ray Blackwell, for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Ray Blackwell, my guest today. Again, for more information about the American Heart Association, heart.org. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.